1 minute change here, and I will be delivering the sermon for today. And please also remember and actually sound fairly quiet, which is great to hear, so please do remember to mute your phones. Star 6 will do that, but I do not hear any background noise or any cars or any dogs barking, so that's always good. Please do remember to mute your phones, and that'll help a lot with the transmission of the message. So, need 1 minute to get set up here, and we'll have the sermon for today.
Distractions in our workplace, whether
deal with that as well. There are distractions every single day, every single night, and every single moment in our lives. No matter what the day of the week it is, including even sometimes on the Sabbath. There could be instances when our own neighbors choose to mow the lawn, wash their cars, play music out loud, that you can hear several houses down the street, or even use a pressure washer just to wake us up early. No matter how many times we avoid it, we will face distractions daily. Now, there could be some examples where we attempt to distract our mind off of things and get away from distractions with something that we like to do in our own time. It could be reading, taking a nap, watching television, sports, or a movie. Also, we could go out for a walk, do exercise, play our favorite sport, even go sightseeing and enjoy our favorite pastime. But these hobbies, although they form a part of our daily routine and can get our mind off things, even for several minutes or hours, do not provide the best solution to effectively managing distractions. And that is through the point of view of true Christian character, based on the guidance of the example of what God's Word truly says about managing the day-to-day activities in our life. We are going to be looking at three different areas that will help us establish a connection between managing distractions and implementing the ways of God, and the actions taken by our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, with numerous examples and lessons we can learn in our daily living. First, we will look at managing distractions when we feel most alone. Secondly, managing distractions when we are afraid of certain situations in life. Thirdly, we will look at managing distractions when engaging with God. These three areas will help us all understand, and I hope we can all learn from this topic in a meaningful way. Let's begin with some background information on the word distraction. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word distraction has several meanings. One, something that distracts, an object that directs one's attention away from something else. And two, the act of distracting or the state of being distracted. Also, the word distraction can be associated or known to as these following words: confusion, discombobulation, fog, perplexity, puzzlement, among others. The word distraction also has three different definitions from the Strong's Concordance. Strong's 4049, from the Greek word perispao, which is spelled P-E-R-I-S-E-A-O, meaning to draw away. Strong's 6323, from the Hebrew word pun, which is spelled P-U-N, meaning be distracted. And Strong's 563, from the Hebrew word aperispastos, which is spelled A-P-E-R-I-S-P-A-S-T-O-S, meaning without distraction. Let's begin today's sermon by turning to the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Here, we will read about a familiar story regarding Jesus and Martha. Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. the modern English version for today's sermon. It says, as they went, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Then tell her to help me. Jesus answered, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Here we read the story about how Martha was distracted with what she needed to do during a certain situation and point on her life. Also, the word distracted in verse 40 alludes to Strong's 4049, meaning that Martha was drawn away from what needed to be done in the first place. She was at a point where she needed to get a correct mindset because she was overwhelmed with everything going on around her. Even Christ related the message indirectly with the response given in verse 41, as we just read. Martha needed guidance with everything surrounding her. Let's turn now to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms. Chapter 88, verses 12 through 18. Psalms, chapter 88, verses 12 through 18. It says, shall your wonders be known in the darkness, or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto you have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast away my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I am afflicted and close to death since my youth. While I suffer your terrors, I am helpless. Your fierce wrath sweeps over me. Your terrors destroy me. They come around me daily like a flood. They encircle me together. You have caused to be far from me my lovers and friends, and my companion is darkness. David presents a dire situation that can relate to any one of us today. David is going through turmoil, desperation, and seeking God through troubling times because of the trials and tribulations he is facing at the time. Now, in verse 15, we read at the end that he is helpless. This verse references Strong 63:23 that we just read, meaning to be distracted. David clearly was facing a distraction and seeking God in the most troubling times, and the way it is done is something we will be looking at later during the sermon. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 35. It says, I say this for your own benefit, not to put any restraint upon you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. Paul writes an interesting and direct point to the Corinthian church due to the teachings he writes in both books, the Corinthians. Paul addresses the importance and literally goes straight to the point when relaying the message about serving God without any distractions. The reference of the word distraction here is Strong's 563, meaning without distraction. Now, these three verses mention a unique and different point about varying degrees of distraction. These verses are a preamble to what we will be discussing in the sermon today. And I want you to keep these different meanings in mind, because we will go through each one of them separately and learn the different ways to manage distractions in our life. We are filled with all kinds of distractions in our daily lives, and we will, as I hope you will learn today, how to effectively manage different scenarios using God's instructions. Let's look at the first area for today's sermon. And that is managing distractions when we are alone. I want to use an example presented in the New Testament through our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. There are many instances in the New Testament where Christ spoke to the multitudes with parables. And I want to emphasize the first element for the sermon based on one of these parables. And in this case, it will be through the parable of the sower. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 11 through 19. Here we will read of Christ relating the parable of the sower. Mark, chapter 4. Verses 11 through 19. It says, He said to them, talking about Jesus Christ, to you given the secret of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything that are parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins be forgiven them. Then he said to them, Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are those beside the path, where the word is sown. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word which is sown in their hearts. Others, likewise, are seeds sown on rocky ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution rises for the word's sake, immediately they fall away. And others are seeds sown among thorns, the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Jesus Christ presents the parable of the sower as a means for people to understand just how important it is to know and acknowledge the crucial aspect of knowing what to do in different times in our lives. For example, it is important to understand the part of the parable that symbolizes what happens when we are distracted in different parts of our lives, whether it is through our loneliness that we feel, and how Satan can use that to exploit us. Also, could be due to a certain situation in life where we are most vulnerable, and we allow outside distractions to harden our hearts and take our focus away from what is happening. Another aspect is that, like the parable states, there are people people who do have the Word of God in their hearts, but are like roots on a rock, where they will not grow, and situations will get the best of us. Christ's message is clear, in that we have to be fruitful in what happens to us, especially when we feel like we are alone, and have no help, no hope, or feel as though we are caught in a certain situation. We cannot let ourselves be consumed by what happens around us. Let's continue with the parable of the sower, this time reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 18. It says, "When a large crowd had gathered together, and people were coming to him from every city, he told this parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Yet some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other seed fell on good ground and sprang up and yielded 100 times the amount sown. When he had said these things, he cried out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' His disciples asked him, 'What might this parable mean?' He said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now, the parable means this: the seed is the word of God. Those along the path are those who hear. Then comes the devil, who takes away the word from their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root, for they believe for a while, then in the time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, keep it in an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. No one, when he lights a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and revealed. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. For whoever has, to him will be given, and whoever has not, from him will be taken even what he thinks he has." We have to make sure that we are not like the negative examples from this parable that Jesus Christ alludes to, brethren. We cannot let ourselves fall away from our calling, from our duty as God's chosen and elect few, because of a situation that can happen in our life. The toughest situations in our life are often ones that we feel most alone. Whenever we feel the whole world has let us down, and we start to drift, that there is no hope for what is to come. However, Christ mentions that we cannot just be hearing the word of God, but we must be trusting in the word of God, and to make sure that we do not lose our way to see to what happens. Distractions are not a good thing that can happen to us, and often they are patience testing, time consuming, and often incredibly frustrating. However, Christ knew and spoke to the multitudes about this because we need to be rooted in the Word of God and ensure we are not easily taken away from what God has given us and set us out to do in this last time here on this earth. Let's look at the second area for today's sermon. And that is that we need to manage distractions with overcoming the world. Now, I know this is particularly difficult for any person to do. We are in the world our entire time on this earth. By this I mean that we are exposed to the world, the temptations, the problems, and negative aspects that Satan and his demons do in our daily life. We are not in a bubble and live our life like we want. Can't be without problems or anything happening to us. No, brethren. We are faced each and every day with problems that begin often in the household. Family issues are very common. Problems with co-workers who do not see or keep the same holy days as we do. Even people that we know but are not called are sometimes an obstacle because the world influence will always be at our doorstep. But managing the distraction, that is the world, is key into the development of a Christian character. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. Here we read about Paul relaying the message of overcoming the problems of the world in these familiar verses to all of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. It says, "Now all these things happened to them for examples. They are written as an admonition to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful, and he will not permit you to be tempted above what you can endure, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Paul speaks an important message to all of us here today to apply in our lives every single time. These familiar verses to all of us are the key to knowing that there is nothing in our life, no distraction too big to overcome, based on God's help. There are numerous distractions that take a hold of us, and we will feel, as is the case with our human nature, where we think we are not going to be able to overcome what is happening to us. However, God provides the ample solution with whatever the world will throw in our direction, because he will never leave us and will always have the solution in mind for any given situation. Let's look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Excuse me. We cannot allow ourselves to be conformed and distracted by the things of the world. Our minds must be in sync and harmony with God's word and instructions to our daily living. God is letting us know that we cannot be complacent with what the world offers us, what the world does to us and what the world wants from us. That is not the point. God wants us to create the mindset of doing what is right, regardless of what is happening in our life at the time. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. A set of familiar verses to all of us. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world and its desires are passing away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." Here we read another example of not getting distracted by the things of the world. We cannot allow ourselves to slip into loving the world before God. The scriptures are clear because everything that we physically have in this world passes away. And like the old saying goes, you can't take it with you. The only true thing that lasts forever is God, who lives forever and is able to provide everything to free us from the distractions of the world. Let's look at the book of Colossians now, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, "If you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you also shall appear with him in glory." The message from Paul enables us to strive for everything that is related to God. Paul understood, as his time on this earth presents the example of knowing that if we are preoccupied with the things of the world, we are easily distracted and taken away from the things from above, which is what we should be doing in the first place. Distractions from everything that we need in our life in this physical world hinders our relationship with the Almighty Creator. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. Let's read what happens when we are too distracted with the things of the world. Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. It says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil." Solomon presents an interesting and unique point, especially when it comes to mentioning how all the issues of life are based on our heart, as we just read in verse 23. Solomon mentions the heart because often, more times than not, we are too preoccupied with what the world thinks, what we need from the world, and what we must do in this world, that we set our sights away from what God instructs us to do. Also, we have to remove ourselves from the evil this world presents, because that is exactly what Satan and his demons want, that we remain fixated on the world and not on God. We must guard our heart, brethren. Let's go back to the New Testament, to the book of Matthew, and we'll look at a few different scriptures here in Matthew. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. A familiar story to all of us with Jesus Christ and Peter. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. It says, Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. He said, come. And when Peter got out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? What happened to Peter is something that has happened to every single one of us in our lives. Think of a moment when everything seemed fine, and all of a sudden there is something that happens around us that completely takes our mind from what we were doing, and we become like Peter, afraid, filled with fear, anxiety, and we wonder what will happen with us. Just like Peter faced the water trial with Christ, so too do we face trials and tribulations that happen to us in the world. And just like Peter was distracted because of the wind, as is what happens to us as well in our life, whenever a particular situation presents itself. We cannot doubt. We cannot lose our faith in God and His Son, Jesus the Christ. Let's turn back a few pages to Matthew 6 now, verses 19 through 21. Here, we will read about Christ's own words to us to practice every day. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. It says, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, gives explicit instructions on what we need to do to avoid falling into distractions from this world. Christ knew we would be easily distracted with our own human nature on what happens in the world, what happens in our families, what happens all around us, everywhere we go. However, there can be no distractions through the world, only that which is in heaven, because everything that is in the world is corruptible and rusted. But nothing that comes from our Heavenly Father is corrupted and never rusts. Just like Solomon alluded to the heart being the center of our life, so too does Christ mention that where the treasures that we seek are, our hearts will be also, in verse 21. Let's drop down to verses 31 through 33 here in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33. It says, therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given to you. Christ continues this line of thought with what we need to be focusing on, and not on what we can be distracted with in the world. We do not need to be worried about the things of the world. Our focus should be on the soon coming kingdom of God. Christ teaches us not to be distracted because God will always provide our needs in our daily life because he knows, understands, and comprehends our daily needs. Let's look at the third and final area for today, and that is that we cannot be distracted while engaging with God. By this, I mean that we cannot allow ourselves to get distracted when we are living the way God has instructed us to do. Also, we cannot get distracted when meditating on God's Word, our daily prayers, and everything associated with our living. We must strive to do what God has set out for us to do. And that is to live the right way and always have a righteous mindset. God knew mankind would be easily distracted with the world. And when engaging with him, and there are several examples and concepts in the Holy Scriptures that we can apply into our daily life that will allow us to have the least amount of distractions as possible. Now, trust me, we are not perfect by any means, and I will be the first one to tell you that, but we can definitely do better and strive to do better each and every day God gives us on this earth. Let's go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verses 1. And 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, since we are encompassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The best way to exemplify our Christian character without distractions when engaging with God is through the example brought forth by our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Our physical life on this earth is a race that we must run every day. Get up, face the world, and everything that happens in our life. Also, when we engage God, we need to have the joy, endurance, and character of knowing that even with everything happening in our lives, we still obey, look up to, and seek God diligently. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. Here we will read about a very important and valuable lesson we need to apply in our lives as we get closer to God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. It says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober and watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him firmly in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you." The lesson brought forth is that every single one of us, brethren, around the world will suffer afflictions, difficult days, and troubling times. God knows and understands that, and we must maintain our course of action based on the merit of leaving everything in his hands. Satan is out there, always trying through temptations to take our mind off the things of God and focusing on the things of the world. However, by maintaining and having a firm base in our faith, we can truly humble ourselves in the presence of God, and we can engage in righteousness without the distractions always brought forth by Satan. Let's look at the book of James now, chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. It says, "Therefore, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to dejection. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Do not speak evil of one another, brothers. He who speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. If you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." We have to understand that doing the things of the world constantly will halt our growth and relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our complete submission to God and his way allows us to have the best engagement with him and make sure that Satan does not draw us away from God, but that we resist what he does to us in our lives. We must not allow ourselves to be taken in by how we feel on the inside towards one another, regardless of the situation at hand. Satan and his demons want hatred, division, anger, and suffering in our lives, and we cannot let that happen to us. Let's look at one solution offered by Christ here in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. Mark, chapter 1, and verse 35. It says, "In the morning, rising up a great while before sunrise, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there," speaking of Christ, "he prayed." There are often times when we wake up early in the morning, sometimes right before our alarm goes off, or often hours before we are supposed to wake up. Now, sometimes we try our best to fall back asleep, but we seem to not be able to, and end up tossing and turning in our bed. But this example from Christ offers a plausible solution for overcoming distractions when engaging with God, by praying in a solitary place and placing the beginning of the day with God in mind. We are reassuring our faith in Him and starting the day not with the things of the world, but with the things above. Let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. It says, "This book of the law must not depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may act carefully according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way successful, and you will be wise. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Galatians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Galatians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. It says, "As we said before, so I say now again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than the one you have received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? For if I were still trying to please men, I will not be the servant of Christ. But I reveal to you, brothers, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, except by a revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of God, through our study and meditation, is an incredible way to engage with God, free from distractions. We need to effectively manage our time to make sure that we are fulfilling our duty and responsibility as Christians and God's called few to please Him and not mankind. Our human nature will worry about things naturally, and that is fine. We are not perfect by any means. We need to manage distractions in every way they present themselves. Now, whether we think we are alone or distracted with the things of the world or distracted when engaging God, we must learn to completely trust God and His Son, Jesus the Christ. It is through the examples set in scriptures that we can obtain the promises of God, that He will never leave us. It does not matter what happens to us in the world with how we are distracted. God will always be there. Always. Even though we might not see a solution in the near future. Sometimes we get distracted with the same situation for hours, days, weeks, months, and sometimes even years. However, the light is at the end of the tunnel, brethren, and God will always watch out for us. Always. Let's conclude today's sermon in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. It says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." That does conclude my sermon for today.